Oh, okay. Do I need to start over now? I'm recording.
You're good, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Special meeting number 1121, originating at the Water Center and via Zoom from various points across the state. The first item of business is roll call. Jennifer.
Okay. Mr. Barker?
Here.
Mr. Chase? You're muted, here, Roger. Ms. Cole Hansen?
Here.
Mr. Olmstead? Mr. Stevenson?
Here.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Here.
Mr. Van Stone?
Here.
And Chairman Raybould?
Here.
Roger looks like he's unmuted now, Jennifer.
Mr. Chase, would you like to say you're here for the record? Roger. Okay.
I'll sign an affidavit that he's here.
Right. And I see Mr. Olmstead is here. Are you here in time for roll call, Mr. Olmstead?
Yes, I am here. Sorry, I was late. I got a new computer.
No worries.
Okay, we've got roll call. Second agenda item is administrative rules. Brian, is that Matt?
Mr. Chairman, we're going to turn this one over to Deputy Director Matt Weaver.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jennifer, can you hear me okay? All right, good. Then I'll carry on. Here to seek one action item in the end, but here to seek your approval on the notice and publication of two proposed rules. Those rules are the Stream Channel Alteration Rule 61 and the Idaho Department of Water Resources, Idaho Water Resource Board's Rules of Procedure. Those are two separate rulemaking dockets that we've carried out under the ZBR that we want to get published as proposed rules. Just a little bit of background. I would also note that I'm joined by Sean Costello. He's the Deputy Attorney General who does the lion's share of rulemaking support. And he is the rulemaking team leader for the rules of procedure. And so once I'm through with this brief update, if there's any questions, then Sean and I will do our best to answer them. I guess I am more or less the rulemaking team leader for the Stream Channel Alteration Rules. So I have a lot of familiarity with that. So focusing there on the Stream Channel Alteration Rules, remember that we did conduct this rulemaking consistent with the Bureau-based regulation directive from the governor. In this first year, we only focused on Rule 61. Rule 61 is the minimum standard rule that governs suction dredge mining activities. At the beginning of the year, we kicked this off. We carried out negotiated rulemaking consistent with all of the directions and policies that have been put in place for ZBR rulemaking. The notice of intent to promulgate Rule 61 was published in the April 7th administrative bulletin. We were required to hold at least two public meetings, which we did. We held meetings on, April 27th and June 2nd. We had robust participation in both of those, and we received numerous oral and written comments throughout the negotiated rulemaking process. All of those comments have been published to our webpage as is required. And there has been a summary of all of the comments along with agency written responses to those also published to the webpage. And that document was included as an attachment to your board materials today. Based on consideration of all of the comments, the rulemaking team prepared a proposed rule that revises Rule 61. A copy of that proposed rule and publication notice are also in your board book materials. Just quick overview of the proposed rule. It makes certain changes to existing expedited minimum standard based permitting process that we have in place for suction dredge mining. You'll recall that statutes allow for minimum standard rules to expedite permitting where certain conditions are met. And that's the purpose of this. It allows us to go to an expedited and short form process to issue dredge mining permits that meet certain qualifications. Almost all of the rulemaking stakeholders supported maintaining an expedited permit process for small scale suction dredge mining and related de minimis activities, but it was not unanimous. There were several parties that just felt that we should completely do away with this minimum standard rule. I tried to repeatedly explain that just because this minimum standard rule went away did not mean that permitting would go away. It just means that we would default to the long form permit process. The proposed rule maintains and clarifies an expedited permit process, clarifies current permit exemptions for select non-powered mining activities, and it modifies and updates some of the minimum standards associated with Rule 61. Other areas of the stream channel alteration rules, such as Rule 10, that's the definitions, Rule 30, that's application rules, and Rule 35, application review, were also modified as logical outgrowths of the changes made to Rule 61. I will say that it was the opinion of probably everyone involved in the rulemaking that the current rules are not a model of clarity when it comes to the different permitting activities that occur, and we hopefully have cleared that up. We have created a new permit. It's called a small scale mining permit. Very logical name, easy to understand, that takes the place of the previous expedited letter permit process. Also, it was pointed out to us through the process that we had some errors in the appendix items and in the citations to the appendix items. So those were also addressed in this draft, but I would characterize those as non-substantive. So just know that we also cleaned this rule up in some other ways as well. So switching now to the rules of procedure, sorry. Maybe I heard a question.
I don't hear anything, Matt. Is there any questions for Matt at this point? Let's continue.
So we'll switch now and focus on the rules of procedure. Similar to the stream channel alteration rules, we went through all of the ZBR processes. A notice of intent to promulgate rules was published in the April 7th administrative bulletin. We held public meetings on May 12th and June 23rd. And I know that there was many rounds of oral and written comments that were submitted to the department and discussions ongoing about how to improve and modernize the rules of procedure. It is my opinion, having observed this process somewhat closely, but not being in the middle of it, that it very closely adhered to the intent and spirit of a zero-based regulation review effort, which is that they started from whole cloth in a sense and worked through ways to significantly improve and overhaul the rule. The proposed procedural rule chapter has decreased in length by approximately 30% as a result of the negotiated rulemaking process. The reduction came through a combination of removal of obsolete provisions, the removal of APA provisions that weren't applicable to the department and the board, a complete overhaul of the contested case process, including the condensing and use of plain language to describe interagency appeals, filings and services, and informal versus formal proceedings. So with that, and I do have a resolution that I've prepared for the board that asks the board to approve the notification and publication of these two proposed rules in either the September or October Idaho Administrative Bulletin, and that they be published as we have submitted proof documents to the Office of Administrative Rules Coordinator.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Al.
I've read through the resolution, read through the rules, and would move to adopt the resolution as presented by Deputy Director Weaver.
I have a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there a second?
Second. This is Dean Stevenson.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? There being none, we'll proceed to vote. Do you want a roll call on this, Brian?
A voice vote will be fine, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you very much, Matt. You're getting pretty proficient at this.
So, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add one thing for Matt. I'm glad you finally got done what Bert wanted you to get done. Good job.
If we're going to have a moment of levity, I figured out why, Al, you never get out of your office if you read through everything in detail that Matt provided us. Okay. Brian, agenda item 3, South Valley Groundwater District loan.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a loan request from the South Valley Groundwater District related to the recent settlement agreement in Basin 37. And Kayla Golden will walk through the loan request.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Today I have for you all the loan request for South Valley Groundwater District. It is in the amount of $150,000 to provide for costs associated with mitigation requirements that were negotiated as a result of the recent administrative proceedings in Basin 37, which the applicant was a party to. I think most of you are fairly familiar with the recent proceedings in Basin 37, so I'll be fairly brief in providing background on the settlement agreement that resulted. And we'll then walk you all through a summary of the loan request as proposed. So South Valley Groundwater District serves approximately 110 groundwater users in the Wood River Valley south of Bellevue, which is otherwise referred to as the Bellevue Triangle. Earlier this spring, the director of the Department of Water Resources initiated administrative proceedings in Basin 37 to determine if groundwater pumping by junior priority users in the Bellevue Triangle would injure senior surface water users in the Littlewood River Silver Creek drainage. And this is during the 2021 irrigation season. So the director's findings issued in June of this year resulted in a curtailment order that was to be effective July 1st, 2021, and was promptly followed with a request from the groundwater users for a hearing to discuss proposed mitigation plans. The director did schedule a hearing on the mitigation request for early July. However, all parties involved with the proceedings were able to reach a settlement agreement on a mitigation plan prior to the hearings. And the director ultimately approved the mitigation plan that was resolved through the settlement agreement. So there were three principal components agreed to in the settlement. The first was to maintain delivery of 23 CFS of water at Station 10 on the Littlewood River. The second was the acquisition of about 2,500 acre feet of storage water to be delivered through the Milner-Gooding Canal. And the third was a reduction in the irrigation season. In addition to these requirements, the groundwater users in the Bellevue Triangle are also required to supply an analysis on the effects of groundwater pumping on the aquifer and the associated flows in Silver Creek. And this is intended to support longer-term mitigation efforts in the development of a groundwater management plan for the Bigwood groundwater management area. So the costs associated with the funding of this proposed loan request will cover the purchase of water under the agreement, all associated fees for the conveyance of water and the hydrologic analysis intended to support a future groundwater management plan in the Wood River Basin. So in total, the estimated mitigation costs incurred by the district are estimated to be just over $172,000. This amount covers the purchase of storage water under the agreement, the wheeling fees, power costs, associated costs with injection wells, department fees, and a hydrologic analysis. So about 22,000 of the total 172 is being covered by the district, and they are seeking a loan from you all for the remaining 150,000 to allow for these costs to be distributed over time. So the benefits of this proposed request would obviously be support for the settlement agreement, which allows for the continued use of water by both junior and senior users who irrigate valuable agricultural land in the Wood River Valley, and support for an agreement that was approved by the director and intends to alleviate longer-term water conflicts in this region. So again, the district is requesting a short-term loan in the amount of $150,000 for a period of 5 years, and this would be at the board's current interest rate of 3.5%. The district has not previously held a loan with the Idaho Water Resource Board and does not hold any outstanding debts at this time. They have been advised by their legal counsel on statutory requirements for their organization to incur debt and are currently in process of meeting all these requirements, which the district does understand will be a condition of any loan funding that you all may wish to approve. So the district will provide as collateral lien against its membership assessments, which staff have consulted with the Attorney General's office and verified is acceptable security under current statute. So in summary, Mr. Chairman, this loan will be used to cover costs associated with the recent settlement agreement in Basin 37, which consists of a mitigation plan approved by the director. The district is a qualified applicant and their proposal is consistent with the goals of the board. So staff would recommend approval of their loan request at this time. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to address any questions that specifically pertain to the terms of the loan. And if you all have any questions with regard to the settlement itself or terms thereof, I will defer to Mr. Patton to appropriately direct. And I will also note that we do have on the meeting with us today a couple representatives from South Valley Groundwater District who would also be happy to address any questions or concerns you may have.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for Kayla?
Mr. Chairman, Al Barker, I am going to recuse myself from participating in any discussion of this matter for reasons that I have represented the South Valley.
Okay, thank you, Al. Any other board members, do you have any questions for Kayla?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yeah.
The lien that we are going to pursue against the assessments, is that a lien on the actual assessments or on the land that the assessments are representing?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Cole Hansen, that would be on the assessments themselves.
Mr. Chairman, Joanne, I can follow up on that. That's consistent with what is allowed under Idaho Code regarding incurring debt by groundwater districts.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up with that, please.
Right ahead, yeah.
I guess my concern is that if the loan payments don't come in, and probably be because the district is not collecting its assessments, and if our security are those assessments that are not collected, I'm wondering how valuable is that collateral?
Mr. Chairman, this is Christy. Could I help address the question?
Yeah, you go ahead and weigh in. Yeah.
Okay. We do our assessments by CFS to each of our members, depending on their water right within the district. And those assessments have been submitted to the Blaine County Assessor's Office. They're collected with the property taxes. We've had a very good success rate as far as assessments being paid on a regular basis because it is collected with the land taxes. And we have already budgeted for this next year to include not only a repayment of this loan, but include any other mitigation expenses that might be necessary for this next coming year. So our assessments have gone up from the past years from roughly $210 per CFS to over $1,300 per CFS in order to accommodate these payments, as well as any more expenses that we might need in a mitigation plan or management plan going forward. So hopefully that helps to understand that it is a very collectible item. It's been a lot easier for us as a district as well to have it done through the tax office as property tax. Does that help?
Yes, that's very reassuring.
Okay, John, just to follow up, I think we would have the ability where the district has offered their assessments as the collateral to reach through, if you will, through the district to the landowners. If the downfall I see would be is if the district just refused to assess. And then I think we would have the ability to go in and force that at least enough assessment occur to cover this indebtedness. But I'm confident that they're going to, you know, pay us back. And she kind of answered my question, what are you going to do next year? And it sounds like they're going to build up some sort of a reserve so that they can address this issue. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Kayla, this is, and Christy, this is Brian Olmstead. And I have met with the, you know, representatives of the district, and I think they're very sincere. Christy, I think you said there was about 20 to 30,000 acres involved in the district. So the assessment per acre is much, you know, it's not a huge burden. It didn't sound like to me to an individual acreage holder, you know, that 1500 per CFS sounds pretty high, but the actual cost per acre is not particularly high, is it? Or
We haven't done the math per acre to know what the acre for the cost of the water is. We've just done it by CFS from the very beginning of the district, and so we've continued to do it that way.
Anyway, follow up. I have pretty good confidence that this, you know, this group's sincere, and I don't have any doubts that they'll repay the loan.
Okay. All right. Rough math in my head. I don't know how much water they use up there. Probably not as much as I do, but probably between $20 and $30 an acre.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dean.
Yeah.
Just comment, you know, this is pretty common and kind of Joanne's deal. I've been involved with the groundwater district that, you know, as Brian knows, we've had a bunch of these loans, and it's pretty common to go back through the assessment for collateral, and the statutes are such that the, like I said, the water board can go force an assessment to collect. So it's pretty firm there. And so, and I like Brian, and we visited with him, and I think they're, I don't see any issues there.
Okay, further questions? Any further comments from South Valley?
This is Christy again, director, or chairman. I would like to say thank you all for your consideration of the loan, and appreciate everybody's time to do the special meeting today to do that. We do appreciate your concerns. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Brian, do we have our resolution?
You do have a resolution in your packet. And it would require a roll call vote if us, one of the members, were to make a motion.
Okay, I think we're to that point unless somebody has further questions.
Mr. Chairman, this is Brian. I will move that we approve this loan for South Valley Groundwater District.
Okay, Brian has moved to adopt the resolution. Is there a second?
This is Dean Stevenson. I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, we will proceed to roll call. Jennifer?
Mr. Barker?
Abstain.
Mr. Chase?
Let's come back to Mr. Chase.
Thank you. Ms. Kohansen?
Aye. Approve.
Mr. Olmstead?
Aye.
Mr. Stevenson?
Aye.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Aye.
Mr. Van Stone?
Aye.
Chairman Raybould?
Aye.
And Mr. Chase, are you available to vote?
Motion passes without Mr. Chase's vote. So.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all the business I see on the agenda. Are there any other non-action items that any board member would like to bring up at this time? Ryan, did you have anything that we needed to go over?
Just that we have a aquifer stabilization committee that starts in about 35 minutes.
Okay. All right. I think that wraps this up. Appreciate Matt doing his due diligence, and glad we could help out South Valley today. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We will, some of us will reconvene in a half an hour. See you then. Thank you.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.